The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. After the song, please stay tuned for a message of God's sovereign grace.
We do want to try to continue with the book of Revelation tonight, and we're in the middle of chapter 13. Now, Revelation chapter 13 describes two beasts. The first one rises up out of the sea, and the second one comes up from the earth. Now, we didn't quite finish the first 10 verses, which conclude in verses 9 and 10, the description of the beast that rises out of the sea. So I want to look at those two verses tonight before we continue with the second beast. Now, in order to grasp verses 9 and 10, I just need to remind you of the general idea of what this first beast represents. And I think this will refresh your memory, that this first beast is a picture of the perpetual uprisings of Satan, primarily through world powers against the Lord and his people throughout history. So you remember as we read about that first beast, we tried to explain how that is a representation of Satan's influence through world powers throughout history. And you can yourself think of some of the evil dictators that have lived in the past and live in the present. And I've kept referring back to Hitler. He's usually considered one of the most evil rulers of all time. And I believe that's a clear illustration of this principle of Satan working and influencing wicked leaders in this world. Now look at verses 9 and 10 with that thought in mind. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now notice here, he's talking to the Lord's people. Having described the evil in this world under the influence of Satan, he now turns his attention to us, those of us that want to serve the Lord, and says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. Now, that expression means that if you have a spiritual ear, if you have the ability to hear because you're born again and you fear the Lord, then you need to listen. That's what that verse means. And then notice the description in verse 10 of what the future holds for these evil forces. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now that last sentence is consistent with so much of Revelation, that God's people are going through persecution, they're suffering at the hands of these wicked rulers, but ultimately they anticipate being delivered from this world and their enemies being eternally judged. So having that knowledge, and we should still apply that to our outlook today, as we recognize in our country that we may well be persecuted for our faith. Here's what we can consider and keep in mind. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. And he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. And this is the patience and the faith of the saints. We can be patient, we can persevere, and we have confidence that the Lord will one day return and deliverance. That's the patience and the faith of the saints. So now let's continue in the next verse and see what it says about the beast that rises up from the earth. We'll begin reading with verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now notice that first verse we read. Verse 11, this beast is not rising out of the sea. this beast is coming up out of the earth. Now, one thought I have with regard to this is evil powers and evil influence is worldwide. In other words, he gives you this idea of the beast rising up out of the sea and the beast coming up out of the earth. Evil is everywhere. It's worldwide. And also, we'll see in some of the following verses that this second beast is just like a repeat of the first beast. They're really one together as far as the concept that's being conveyed, that being that the same old evil keeps rising up again and again. Just look at our country today. You know, in the beginning, there were those that would think this would be a foolproof country. But you know, one of our founding fathers said, "We have given you a constitutional republic. Keep it if you can." We're losing it, aren't we? And we already see, without getting political, but just to use this as an illustration, the way our former president is being indicted over and over and over again, and for the first time, a candidate for president is taking that kind of action against his opponent. That's never happened before. And men are becoming more and more lawless. So we're on the move to the way it's always been, and that's the people lose the power and an evil dictator takes over. It happens again and again and again. But notice this beast that came up out of the earth had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now, a lamb doesn't have horns in nature. You know, a lamb is a young sheep. A lamb doesn't have horns. So what does this mean to say he beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb? Well, I believe if we make a correct application of this symbolism, you'll see that this is an idea that is consistent with some of the literal language of the New Testament. Now, first of all, a lamb by nature is gentle. One of the best illustrations of that is in Isaiah chapter 53, when Jesus is described as a lamb. Isaiah 53 and verse 7 says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." Notice three times it says he opened not his mouth. And then he says he was dumb, and it says he openeth not his mouth. Three times it makes reference to Jesus being quiet as a lamb going to the slaughter. And other verses could be referenced to show that a lamb is representing gentleness. We know that's the characteristic of a lamb in nature. And so this lamb in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11 has two horns. Now that seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? Because a lamb doesn't have horns, and horns can represent, if you study this word and how it's used in the Bible, horns can represent authority or power or aggressiveness. You know, I think of two goats butting heads. You know, they have those horns and they butt heads. They're very aggressive. So this is like an image that's contradictory, isn't it? The image of a lamb with two horns. But did you know that's the identity of a false prophet? Notice, for example, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, and this to me makes it clear that that's an appropriate way to look at this lamb with two horns. In Matthew chapter 7, listen to this. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." In other words, a false prophet, an evil man, and it would certainly apply also to wicked rulers, who may at first appear to be gentle and cooperative, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You know, if you study the history of Muhammad, Muhammad advocated a peaceable religion until he had the majority. See, that's the notion there. That's the idea, I believe, of this lamb with two horns. These wicked men describe themselves as starting out with good, noble purposes until they get power, until they get the majority, and then when their real motives are revealed, it's too late. So I believe that could well be the idea under consideration there when it refers to this lamb with two horns. And notice it says, "He spake as a dragon." Now we know for sure already what the dragon represents. Look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. We'll just read that again as we have in the past. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." The dragon is the old serpent, that one in the Garden of Eden, also known as Satan, also known as the devil. So how does that fit in with what this beast is described? In terms of how this beast is described, this beast that came up out of the earth, who had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Well, let's see how Satan speaks. And this will just further emphasize the concept that I've derived from that lamb with two horns, who Jesus described as a false prophet who's outwardly like a sheep, but inwardly like a ravening wolf. Notice how the devil speaks. This beast speaks like the devil. Genesis chapter 3. Here's where he comes on the scene. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Notice what the serpent, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, said to her. He says, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be as gods. That sounds good. That's what he offers. The information he gives her sounds good. Just like that false prophet who outwardly is like a sheep, inwardly like a ravening wolf, just like this lamb with two horns. This lamb with two horns, the beast is described with that appearance. So this beast is like a lamb with two horns, and this beast spake as a dragon. That is, he was deceitful in what he said, and the things he said that were deceitful sounded good. So you see how the dragon, in terms of how we're looking at that, is consistent with that lamb with two horns. Now let's look at one other example of how a dragon, that is our adversary, Satan, speaks. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You see how evil often operates? With good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. So this second beast is described as one that deceives by presenting himself to be something he's not. He presents himself to be that which is desirable. He presents himself as that which will be good for you. But ultimately, his real motives are made known. Just like these evil men in the past that we've referenced. Now, look at the next verse there in Revelation chapter 13, verse 12. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. So notice here, I believe we're getting a universal picture of evil. One rises up out of the sea, one rises up out of the earth. And it says he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now we'll not go over that again about the deadly wound of the first beast being healed, but notice what it says here with regard to the second beast. He causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. So regardless of the evil that rises up, it's just a repeat of the same thing. You know, one dictator after another, as they rise and fall, as they rise up in power, they persecute and murder and kill and take advantage of the subjects of their kingdom. And in some cases, when they die, their son takes over and does the same thing. Sometimes it's maybe a man that was the enemy of that leader, but it just continues on and on and on, and the Lord's people suffer under that. He says that this beast causes them which dwell in the earth to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now watch this. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, we may be prone to think, well, if miracles are performed, that's got to be of the Lord. And when I read about this, notice what it says, he makes fire come down from heaven. I think of Elijah. Elijah was a servant of the Lord. Elijah was a man of God. And he called upon the Lord. And you remember how fire came down from heaven. And even it consumed the sacrifice and licked up the water. You said, well, how do we tell the difference? Well, first of all, have in mind that just because that which appears to be magical or miraculous is performed, that in and of itself doesn't mean that that's of the Lord.
We're going to pause the message here for now, but we want you to join us again tomorrow where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.